Good morning and welcome to worship service for Sunday morning here on March the 22nd. This is going to be an unorthodox worship service for us. We've never done things this way, but then again, we've never had to close the doors of the church due to a pandemic. So I am grateful that we have the opportunity to use technology today, an opportunity that wouldn't have been available 10, 15 years ago, but something that we can avail ourselves with today so that we can indeed gather together while social distancing and worship the Lord. And so this will be a little bit different worship service than we normally would have, as normally we have all of you gathered here with me in a worship service in the church. So we have to make some accommodations for the fact that we're not here together. And so this will be a little bit different, but I'm going to try to keep it as close to our regular worship service as possible. And so with that, it's always appropriate to start our worship service with a call to worship. And today I'm going to read from the 62nd Psalm, verses 1 and 2, and it starts like this. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the gift of this time to worship together and for the ability to do it even though we are divided by space and time. Lord, I pray that as we set our hearts to focus on you, to worship you, to lift you up, that you would help us to do so, that your Holy Spirit would continue to unite us, draw us close to you so that you can be our fortress in this difficult time. Lord, may we give you the glory this day and always, and so find our strength and peace in you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, this is indeed a different and more difficult time for us right now. And so as we have our normal welcome and announcements, and I do indeed welcome you here, I have to start off with some announcements that reflect the reality of the times. Our Seder dinner that we had planned for Palm Sunday evening, Sunday, April the 5th. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that this year. Additionally, it's likely that we will not have church services here in the church building next Sunday either, and we'll have to keep a close eye to see if we're going to be able to gather for Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. I suspect there's a very good chance that we will not be able to do that. And so it's best that we be in prayerful consideration of what we are being told to do from the authorities, understand that it impacts all of us, and try to adjust our schedules accordingly. In general, what I'm hoping that we do as a result of being separated is that we continue to stay in communication with one another. We have all this wonderful technology that we can use today, and let's use it so that we can be checking on those that we love and those that we know, our circles of influence, and make sure that nobody's feeling overly isolated. I want to encourage you all to stay in prayer. This should, if nothing else, draw us closer to the Lord and help us to see clearly that we need to be praying for one another, for ourselves, and for us to be drawn closer to the Lord. And that brings me to my last point, which is I hope that we will be worshiping the Lord daily with all that we do. It's so easy in this idea of social isolation, where we have to stay indoors for the most part, to find ourselves just sucked down into this abyss. And that's not what we're called to do. We can worship the Lord with joy and gladness in our hearts, even if we can't get out and frolic in a beautiful world. We have to do that, and we should do that, because not only does God desire and is he worthy of our worship on a daily basis, but also it feeds our soul and it gives us strength. And so we shouldn't walk away from that. So I want to encourage you to just try to worship daily. We're going to adjust this worship service, as I mentioned, as a reflection of the fact that I'm the only one here in the church and you're not with me. And so as to not lose you all immediately, first and foremost, I'm not going to be singing any hymns. My voice just isn't that good. And so to try to do so, while it might make a joyful noise to the Lord, it might not be something that you want to listen to this morning. So I will spare you the hymns. Additionally, normally we have a time in our prayer in our service for prayer requests and praise reports and testimonies. We won't have that today. However, I want to encourage you, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, something that you want me to know about, please email me, aaron at fuabchurch.org. Send me your prayer requests. Let me know how I can be praying for you. And I can always tell the other members of the church how they can be praying for you as well. Finally, we won't be doing an offering today. If you would like to give, you are welcome to go to our church website, which is www.fuabchurch.org. And there is a page there for giving so that you can do online donations if that's something you'd like to do. But clearly, we're not going to be able to do that here. And so, with that being the case, our shortened service, our modified service, is going to continue with our scripture reading for today. And I'm going to pull that from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And so here is our word from the Lord today. Jesus talking to his apostles. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of the Lord. So as we shift from that and get into our brief message for today, I would ask that you would just all please just pray with me for a moment. Lord, I ask now that you would empty me of myself and get me out of the way so that I can simply be a vessel through whom your word is proclaimed. And for all listening this morning, I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts and in our minds so that we can receive this message with clarity of thought as you intend it. And in our hearts, Lord, so that they would continue to be set on fire with things that you love dearly, Lord. And I ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of the Lord's Prayer. They are words that are familiar to so many that have Christian roots, whether their faith is still strong and keeping them in church or whether it was something that they grew up with and have drifted apart from. It's to the point where if you were to start the words of that prayer, so many would be able to just automatically recite them. It's a part of who they are, ingrained in their minds. It's something so valuable that Jesus felt that those were the words that we needed to be able to pray when his apostles asked him how to pray. Now, I remember when my younger daughter was born, Catherine. Just a few hours after she was born, I was holding her in my arms, and I began to recite the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't just say the words as Jesus has given them to us. I didn't just say the words as they are now commonly recited, which is a little bit different than the scripture reading. I recited a few words, and then I told Catherine what those words meant. Here was this beautiful new child entering into this brave new world. And I wanted her to understand that there was a creator of that world, that there is a God who is truth. It's important that we know him, and that it is important that we know that we are his. And so I wanted to start off Catherine's life with an understanding of the Lord's Prayer, who God is and who she is. The theology that Jesus teaches us in this prayer is profound in its brevity, but also in its depth. Jesus teaches that there is a God who reigns above, a God who is the creator, who sits upon his throne in heaven, in a place where all of the heavenly creatures adore him and worship him, where his will is clearly done. It is a place that reigns forever and ever. It is eternal. It is God's perfect kingdom. And yet at the same time, while not disputing that God is also the king of the earth, Jesus identifies the fact that there are many here on earth who will not do God's will, that this is a place where we are disobedient, and therefore we must be asking that God's will be done down here, just like it is done without flinching up in heaven. It reveals the fact that we live in a fallen world. And yet, as we pray to God that God would give us this day our daily bread, we know that we have a God who provides for us Forgive us our trespasses identifies the fact that we have a God who loves us so much that he wants to forgive us and that his kingdom will have no end. Just lets us know that everything here on this material earth will fall away and his kingdom will be glorified forever and ever. Now, the reason why it's important for us to be praying this prayer and the truths that it reveals is that if God's will isn't being done automatically here on earth as it is in heaven, that reveals a condition of the human spirit. We are, as Scripture says again and again, a stiff-necked people. We are hard-hearted. There are many on earth who simply reject outright that there is a God. There are many on earth who simply deny that God should have any place in their lives, whether he exists or not. And even amongst the Christian brothers and sisters, so often our motto seems to be, God, not your will, but my will be done. We don't necessarily set out to have that be our motto day in and day out, but unfortunately, it's something that our actions reveal. We see it when in times of blessing, God keeps providing for us, but as the blessings keep flowing and God's goodness pours out onto us, it becomes so easy for our pride to rise up inside of us. And instead of giving God his due for what he has done for us, we start thinking that we actually have something to do with life being as good as it is for us. And the more we think that we are responsible for our own blessings, the more likely we are to look inside of ourselves for guidance and advice and counsel on what to do next. It's not, God, may your will be done, because we're not even asking God what his will is anymore. We have replaced God upon the throne with ourselves. Unfortunately, that is something that we do. It is in our nature, because we are all by nature children of wrath. But when that happens, in times like that, we need to remind ourselves of one of the great truths that Jesus uttered. He said, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul? In times like that, it's important for us to remember that everything here on earth, all of the material wealth and possessions, will fade away. It will perish. It is unworthy of inheriting the kingdom of God. In times like this, like we're experiencing today, we need to ask ourselves, have we turned our backs on God? And have we embraced the world instead of his kingdom? Now, in Deuteronomy, Moses warns the Israelites of the curses that would befall them if they turn their backs on God, if they disobey him, if they ignore his word and stray away from him and from his law. And those curses are many. There is financial ruin. There is starvation. There is captivity and exile. And yes, there are plagues and there's sickness. Well, the Israelites did exactly that. They turned their backs on God and on his law. They forgot about him. And so God did his part. He is faithful and true. And having told them what would happen if they turned their backs upon him, that is exactly what happened to them. They experienced exile. They experienced plagues and sickness. They experienced financial ruin. And here we are thousands of years later. And once again, as God's people, having turned our backs on him in general, we see that the world is being shaken. Shaken in a way that reminds us that God is still God and that we are still called to be his people. In the fall of 2016, Hurricane Matthew struck our island. And it really didn't matter what your daily routine was up to that point. If it was getting up and going to work every morning, if it was getting up and going out and playing golf or for a walk on the beach. When Matthew struck our island, all of that was shaken and all of that was disrupted. We had no choice but to turn away from what we were doing and focus on the difficulties that lay ahead of us. So people grabbed chainsaws. People drove skid steers. People would grab the cut up limbs and haul them away. We had people placing tarps upon roofs. We had a team that was cooking meals so that the rest of the work crew could continue doing what we were doing. We had folks who took it upon themselves to be our supply chain, going over on the mainland, picking up what we needed, and then coming back on the boat so that we could keep the wheels turning and keep the work flowing. It was a humbling exercise where all of the things that separated us no longer mattered. We had to set them aside and come together as a people, united as a community, to address the issues that we faced. Now, it's one of those things that we see the truth about God and His bright shining light. In a time of blessing, or let's say in the midst of a scorching midday sun, it's very difficult to see the light from a flashlight. But when things get tough, when darkness settles in, when nighttime approaches, now all of a sudden the light of a flashlight is easily visible. And so true is God's word. We see that because in times of blessing, we don't necessarily focus on this wonderful promise that God makes us. And yet when things are tough, all of a sudden we start seeing the truth in God's word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this powerful statement is uttered that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. This promise that no matter what befalls us, if we love God, those conditions that have been set upon us, God is using to make something good come out of it. And we saw that in the midst of this hurricane. Not one of us would have said, Lord, please let a hurricane hit us. And yet when that hurricane did hit us, all of a sudden we were drawn together as a community. We were working side by side. It was hard work. It was long work. But I remember distinctly writing in one of my weekly blogs that if pulling our way out of that meant going back to the way things were before, where we were divided, where we were separated by class or culture or those other things that would normally pull people apart. Well, if getting back to normal meant that, then I didn't want us to get back to normal. I say keep the work hard. Let us continue to be pulled together so that we can be a strengthened and strong community, united. Well, that situation passed. But it gave us an opportunity to see the promise of God's word. And we need that. We need to know that when difficulty strikes, we can depend upon the truth of who God is and what His promises are. And I think the Lord's Prayer helps us to understand that because it reveals to us parts of who God is. Lets us know that He is the one true God, that He is the King. He is the one who is worshiped now and will be forevermore, and His will shall always be done. He is the one that gives us our daily bread. He is the one who meets our needs. And equally important, He's the one who forgives us our sins. And when we see that in Him, what is revealed that He is a God of love. He wants us to rest in Him, and in so doing, bring glory to His name. And if God is who He is, and we are His people, then what do we have to worry about? The Apostle Paul would write this to the church in Philippi. He would say this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In every situation, whether it is a hurricane like Hurricane Matthew or whether it is a pandemic that's known as COVID-19, with prayer and with petition, we should remember that we are God's children. We are members of His family, and we are assured of His love. And in that blessed assurance, there is no reason for us to be anxious about anything. God offers us peace with the promise that He Himself will guard our hearts and guard our minds. Now, here's the reality of things. People will get sick with this virus. They have gotten sick and they continue to get sick. And perhaps you will get sick and be forced to face the various health challenges that come along with it. I hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, Hold on to the promise of God's peace. Don't be anxious. Put your trust fully in God. We know that people will suffer greatly as a result of these preventative measures in terms of their own personal finances. Perhaps you will lose a significant chunk of your investments. Perhaps you will lose your job. If this happens, don't be anxious about it. Understand that God, in His divine reasoning, has something good that will come out of it. Hold on to His promise of peace. Claim it as a point of strength. People are going to die from this virus. They already are. And I pray that no one in our church family or anyone close to us suffers that fate from this virus. But if it does, we've got to remember that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Our promise lies in Christ and not in the world. And so even if this virus is to take our lives, we have victory over death. We can rejoice in that, and we can take peace from that. As I bring this brief message to a close, I want to bring your minds all back to that line in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus talks about God forgiving us for our trespasses. Why is that important? Well, you see, some of us may catch COVID-19, but all of us are sinners. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Of those who catch this virus, perhaps 2% or less will actually lose their lives as a result of it. But Romans reminds us that the wages of sin is death. It's not less than 2%. It's 100%. And so for all of us, we are dealing with a far more serious illness than any virus that might be floating around. It is our sinful nature that will result in our physical death. But that same verse that tells us that the wages of sin is death has much better news that goes along with it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Our answer to our prayer for forgiveness, the antidote to our sinful nature, is Jesus Christ Himself. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And though our bodies fade away because it is a component of this material world, our spiritual lives, risen in Christ, will live forever and ever in God's kingdom. The result of our forgiven sin, the result of our acceptance of the blood shed by Christ on the cross as the only perfect atonement for our sin. There is that gift, there is that cure that is available to all of us, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, the entire world is being shaken by this virus. Nearly everyone is experiencing disruption. Nearly everyone is experiencing some form of pain as a result. There is fear. There is panic. There's uncertainty. And now for a world that is focused on the things of this world, things like our own health, things like our own wealth, things like our own personal freedoms and our social lives, yeah, this sort of disruption is the sort of darkness that we hope to avoid. And there is a lot of pain. But perhaps in that pain, and perhaps in this moment of being shaken and disrupted, there is also an opportunity. Perhaps in this time, God is softening up the hearts of men and women around the world because we are being called to be salt and light in this world. And so this may be a time where they are more receptive to the message. And this may be the time where you feel God's call on your heart to be that messenger, to go and make disciples of all nations and to share the gospel message. If God's calling you to be that messenger of hope, embrace that. We've gotten some good words from Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi earlier. And I want to close with these words as well. Because as we wonder what we should do, how should we respond in this time of social distancing, with more time on our hands than we might otherwise have had, what do? Paul's got some great advice for us. He writes this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, not once do you call upon us to understand everything that you are doing, but many times you call us to be strong and courageous and to put our trust and our faith wholly and completely in you. In a time such as this, Lord, where there is much disruption and the world is being shaken, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. And Lord, may we be attentive to the leading of your Holy Spirit so that we would see those opportunities that you are creating now, opportunities to be salt and light to the world, opportunities to love our neighbors as ourselves, opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to a world that so desperately needs to know him. So, Father, we place our trust wholly and completely in you. We rest completely in you, and we accept your offer of peace that comes from knowing you. Lord, simply use us in these times so that you will be glorified, that we may experience the good that you are doing in all things so that you can be glorified. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now for our benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest, abide, and remain in each and every one of you. And in so doing, may he grant you that amazing capacity to go forth and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the church all said, amen. May you all be blessed.